No one can do it alone.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The message from the stock markets this week seems clear. No one person can fix the economy anytime soon. The problems are too deep and too numerous. Today, the mining company BHP Billiton announced 6,000 job cuts. Clear Channel says it's laying off 9% of its workforce. So despite the optimism about a new U.S. president, the markets are still showing significant losses this morning. In Asia, stocks finished 2 to 3% lower. European shares are also down about 2%. The Dow is at 7,949. It fell 332 points yesterday, about 4%. The NASDAQ lost almost 6% to 1440. But stocks might see a boost today. IBM reported a 12% profit increase for last quarter and gave a surprisingly strong forecast for its profits this year. We haven't heard much like that lately. President Obama's nominee for Treasury Secretary will be on Capitol Hill today. Tim Geithner was supposed to be a shoo-in, but now, of course, he'll face questions about his personal taxes. More from Nancy Marshall Genzer.
When Timothy Geithner appears before the Senate Finance Committee this morning, he'll face some pointed questions. How could the head of the New York Fed not pay self-employment taxes for several years? And how could Geithner have employed a housekeeper temporarily without work papers? Mark Gertler has some ideas. He's a member of the New York Fed's advisory board and knows Geithner professionally.
He's so focused on his job that maybe other stuff he didn't pay as much attention to as he might have wanted to with the benefit of hindsight.
Geithner has played a key role in bank mergers and the bailout. Critics say the bailout hasn't done enough to loosen the credit crunch. Still, securities lawyer Bill Singer says Geithner's the best we've got.
Do we give him a mulligan here and do-over? Because he's probably the most qualified person for the job.
Lawmakers appear to be leaning toward giving Geithner another shot, despite the grilling he'll probably get today. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
A lot of American companies probably wish they had a do-over. If they could go back to the boom times, maybe they wouldn't borrow so much money, because now they don't have the profits to pay it back. Today, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce will ask for some mercy, income tax relief, so that businesses can get out of their debt and spend again. Mitchell Hartman has more on that.
Since the loans are shaky, banks have discounted them as much as 50 cents on the dollar. At those bargain prices, companies may have the cash to buy those loans back and retire the debt, but they'd face a big income tax hit on the money they save through refinancing. Economist Ev Ehrlich served in the Clinton administration. He's studied the plan backed by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce to temporarily waive the income tax on these buybacks.
This proposal says, let the company go back to the bank and say, we'll take an uncertain, risky asset off your hands and give you a certain clear and liquid one, cash. And we'll take the debt back and we'll save ourselves the interest.
The Chamber of Commerce calls the plan the linchpin of any economic stimulus for business. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, providing people-ready enterprise solutions, software based on how people really work, and by Medtronic Foundation, now looking for runners benefiting from medical technology to participate in Medtronic Twin Cities Marathon events. Application at medtronic.com/globalheroes.
President Obama's first day in office will go something like this: a prayer service at the Washington National Cathedral, then an open house at the White House, where the public will be allowed in, then a meeting with his economic team. They need to decide a strategy for getting a stimulus package through Congress quickly. Commentator Robert Reich has one suggestion.
Almost every economist will tell you the stimulus has to be massive to have any real impact. Even Marty Feldstein, who headed Ronald Reagan's Council of Economic Advisers, told Congress it had to be $800 billion. But a price tag like that scares Republicans and so-called blue dog Democrats who worry about government debt. So here's Obama's strategic choice. He can fight for the biggest stimulus possible, twisting arms and counting noses to get a bare majority of the House and 60 votes in the Senate. That's how Ronald Reagan and George W. Bush got their huge tax cuts, and how Bill Clinton got his first budget through Congress. Or Obama can go after the backing of a much larger majority than he needs, including a majority of Blue Dog Democrats and Republicans. Of course, to do this, he'd have to settle for a smaller stimulus package, one that may not be enough to immediately jumpstart the economy. Why would he ever choose the second strategy? Because his goal is not just to squeeze through the biggest stimulus package possible. It's to get a Congress that's mostly united behind whatever stimulus package emerges. This would help ensure that Republicans and Blue Dog Democrats take some ownership of the package and therefore responsibility for making it work. And maybe, if they feel ownership and responsibility, Obama can return to them later for more money and probably get their backing. Just as important, he might build bipartisan support for other things that have to be done in the next few months, like keeping the U.S. auto industry afloat, reducing mortgage foreclosures, and devising new regulations of Wall Street. And he lays the foundation for a more united Congress, capable of tackling a new health care system and reform of Social Security and Medicare. It's not a strategy his predecessors used to enact their economic plans. It's not hardball politics. It may not be the best move for the economy in the short run. And it's a gamble. But given the challenges our new president and our nation face, trading bigger stimulus for broad-based support may be very smart politics and smarter economics in the long run.
Robert Reich teaches public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. His latest book is called Super Capitalism. Share your opinions with us at our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott J. Gow. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.